Doing the new, doing the innovative, doing the impossible is such a blast. That is, when you successfully translate your idea into a product or service. How do you improve your chances of success when it comes to innovation? I'll be right back.
This is the Killer Innovations Podcast with Phil McKinney. Keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are Phil's and Phil's alone, and they don't necessarily reflect those of his past, current, or future employers. Now, here's Phil McKinney.
Whenever I run into somebody who's running the innovation teams at a corporation or some business, they tend to focus on wanting to describe the new. Whatever the new may be. Now, there's lots of dimensions around the new. New could be product, could be manufacturing, could be new customers, could be a new go-to-market, could be a new business model. We're talking about major leaps, what I would call a killer innovation. Now, a killer innovation is what I would describe as something that is fundamentally different that's in the market, and that is so radical from the standpoint that it creates a barrier to entry from your competitors to be able to duplicate what you're doing in something that is highly profitable. So it's not doing new just for the newness sake. It's not just focused on profitability, because you can do a lot of things just to drive short-term profitability, but it's really about bringing all of this together while at the same time delivering something that your competitors can't immediately copy. Now, as we would all admit, there's the list of really truly killer innovations is pretty darn small. Now, the challenge becomes in is how do you describe what this new thing is and how does it relate to your core business, adjacencies that you may be going after? How do you frame up the conversation so that people understand what's different between what you do today, the giant leap forward, and these interim steps, what I would refer to as adjacent innovations? Now, the way to think about this is a 2x2 grid. The horizontal axis is what I would refer to as product, and you can put it as product or service or business model. In this case, it goes from the currently what is today, what's available today, and then what's new, so existing and new. The vertical axis, in my case, for my business, I think about it as go-to-market, channels, customers, distribution, supply chain, and again, it's existing and new. So if you think about this in a 2x2 grid, the lower left-hand corner is what I would call today's core business, an existing product with an existing go-to-market. Immediately to the right of that is what I would call an adjacency, a new product going into an existing go-to-market. The opposite corner, the upper left-hand corner of this 2x2 grid, it would be an existing product going into a new go-to-market. New customer, new supply chain, new distribution, whatever it is. The upper right-hand corner is what I would call new. New product with a new go-to-market. Now, you can change these around whichever works for your industry. This is the way I think about it day-to-day when I'm evaluating innovations that I invest in, innovations that I'm going to fund, support, go help the team put their story together, convince senior executives to support these programs by sitting down and taking all the ideas and saying, does it fit into core? Is it an adjacency? Or is it a fundamentally new? New being that thing that potentially could just be that breakout winner for the overall business. Now be careful. Many people would look at the adjacencies and say, ah, they're not interesting. That's the easy stuff, low-hanging fruit, doesn't require anything special. Don't be fooled. Adjacencies are extremely attractive because, one, they restrict the risk. They reduce the risk that you're going to face, meaning that you're going to keep one thing stable and you're only going to adjust one thing in order to try to break out and create new products, new services, new go-to-market, whatever. It focuses on really what the new thing is. If you change too many things, if everything is new, then how do you control your risk in such that you know that you're going to be successful? The other advantage of an adjacent innovation is leveraging the core. Whatever you're going to stay the same, whether it's going to be an existing customer and a new go-to-market, new marketing campaign, or is it an existing product, new go-to-market, or an existing go-to-market with a new product, whatever it is, keeping in your focus on what the one new thing is, keeping everything else stable. The other benefit from adjacencies is it allows you to scale faster, much faster, meaning to get the proof point of an innovation rather than going out and doing everything new, scale it back, focus on the adjacencies, get the early traction, show the early win. And that allows management to have more confidence in the overall innovation programs that you're trying to drive. Now, to be successful, you've got to be realistic. The biggest challenge we run into is the fact that many people will try to group things as being existing, like existing go-to-market. Reality is that even if you're selling it to the same, let's say, retail chain, but it's a different part of the retail, you got to go convince a different buyer, you got to put together a new incentive plan, that is new, okay? So the challenge here is that when people think about adjacencies and they try to think about how to de-risk and they say, oh, it's an existing customer. Well, is it really an existing customer or it's an existing go-to-market? Is it really the same exact identical go-to-market, exact same parts and suppliers, same supply chain, same marketing campaign, the same way you advertise, the same way you do demand gen? If it isn't exactly the same, then you've got a new area. And you've got to be really brutally honest to make sure that you understand what the risk is that's going on with your overall program. Now, do you avoid the new? No. Going after new products into new go-to-markets or whatever the two axes you use, no. I'm not saying avoid it and everything, just fall back to an adjacency. What I am going to point out, though, is what I would call the rules of two. Now, this is the biggest challenge that most people have when they have a fundamentally new area and they're out trying to convince people, and people just can't get comfortable with the investment. There's too many new things going on. So fundamentally new technology, it's a new customer, it's a new go-to-market strategy. It's a lot of newness going on. How do you de-risk the newness? Now, I know what you're going to ask yourself. So what you're saying is, Phil, is let's avoid all the new things. No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is where most people run into the buzzsaw of management, of trying to convince people, whether it's management or venture capitalists or angel investors or even you're convincing your spouse or friends and family that you've got this whacked out idea and it's going to make you the next billionaire. The buzzsaw that everybody runs into is the fact that there's too many new things on the table. It's a risky technology. It's a unproven customer segment that's willing to pay. It's a new kind of marketing campaign, and you're trying to boil this all up together to come up with the real killer idea. Over my many years of doing this, what has proven to be successful is what I call the rules of two. Now, what are the rules of two? The rules of two is if you really have that breakthrough new thing, break down the new into a step of adjacencies. So you don't have to make the giant leap from where the industry is today or your customer base or your business from today to the new. The new sets the target. What you need to do then is break down the new into a series of adjacencies. Maybe it's a new product. Maybe you take a little bit of a derivative of your new item, create a new product that you can sell to your existing customers. Or it's you need to go try out a new marketing campaign. So find one of your existing products that you can try with this new marketing campaign and work out the campaign and see how successful you can be. And through this series of following the rules of two, which means don't take a single step to the new, take two steps to get to the fundamentally new. Now, you're saying, okay, you say that this is a proven process. Give us an example. Well, the example I'm going to use is PCs and printers. So back in the 80s, the industry came out with the PC compatibles, the computers that would all run the same software. Then there was this big rush to create peripherals that would attach to the PC. So the first ones that came out, obviously, were the printers. Then what you saw is you went from dot matrix printers to lasers, inkjet printing, And at the same time, there were other peripherals, such as scanners and fax machines and etc. Then all of a sudden, someone said, oh, let's put all this together. Let's put a scanner, fax, and a printer all together and make it as an all-in-one. So that's kind of another adjacency. So a PC became the core, the adjacency became the printer. Pretty soon, the printer businesses grew to be fairly self-sufficient as products on their own right. They become the core. Their adjacency was combine up a variety of different technologies, scanners, printers, etc., to make the new adjacency. The all-in-one printers began to grow such that they literally became part of a core business. The next leap was the fact that many people saw all-in-one printers being used in small and medium-sized businesses, never hooked up to a PC, but basically using it as a low-cost copier. So if you had said, you know, years ago that you wanted to go from a PC business into just being a copier company, it would have been crazy. But by taking the PC, creating a new product that you sold to the existing customers, so create a printer, sell it to the PC customers. Next is to take a variety of technologies to build a full-featured printer that added a huge amount of value in the standpoint of being able to scan and fax and print and create this all in one. Go off and combine those technologies. So a new product, again, to the existing customers. Now, all of a sudden, you've got, for all intents and purposes, a small business copier that many businesses buy. They just stand in their office. You slap your piece of paper down. You make your copies, etc. Now, all of a sudden, you're in the copier business. And through this process, it's not making the huge leap to become a copier company. It's through the steps of adjacencies. So the key here is understanding what's the new you're going after. Break it down into the adjacencies and use that to tell your story. It's the way to convince VCs, angel investors, even the spouse that's tired of hearing you spout off that you've got this absolute great idea and a product that's just absolutely going to be the winner. So again, if you have a new, your chance for success will go up significantly if you can identify, you know, the set of adjacencies. Now, keep in mind that don't focus just on adjacencies that are just along one dimension. The best way to create a really breakthrough new that's going to be wildly successful is to create a series of adjacencies that do both. In my case, focusing on product adjacencies. The next step is then change the go-to-market adjacencies. And basically, think of it as that you've got a very small box, and by using adjacencies, you're making the box bigger. You're trying more things on the product dimension. You're trying more things on, in my case, the go-to-market dimension. And therefore, you're expanding the box, meaning you can take even bigger leaps along new products, bigger leaps along the adjacencies. And as those products become successful or those go-to-markets become successful, they drift into the core. Then you take your next adjacency step. And pretty soon, you find yourself into what was eventually the new target you were going after, and it sneaks up on everybody. Believe me, it's a heck of a strategy, and it does work. Now, why does it work? What is it that kind of breaks through the fog or the cloud that people get when you try to explain the fundamentally killer innovation that you just know is going to be that breakthrough in the product? Well, one is that management gets it. Management gets measured on success, and success in many cases is based on quarterly results. Now, those of us in the innovation space, we tend to wave our hand and get frustrated because it's like, oh, they got to get out beyond that quarterly thinking. They got to get longer term. They got to understand that these are investments. No, we in the innovation space have to be able to take our vision and compartmentalize it. So literally you're spoon feeding it, not from the standpoint of you think management doesn't get it, but you have to understand how they make their decisions and therefore how they're going to prioritize their overall investments. So management gets it. If you can show them near-term, short-term success by leveraging adjacencies, eventually getting to the new, meaning it's your job to hold the cards. What you're giving out to management is one card at a time to show them how they go from point A to point B without requiring a leap of faith. Give me, you know, $1 billion in 5 years and I'll come back with something great. Show them the steps. The other is it reduces risk. Everybody's talking about innovation. Everybody wants to make the investment in innovation. The challenge today is the risk. It's a huge risk, given that there's no real easy way of giving some kind of certainty that the project that you're going to work on is going to generate, you know, billions of dollars for your company, or it's going to make you independently wealthy, so therefore the spouse should allow you to quit your job and just focus on this. It's about managing the risks, and there's a risk-reward trade-off here. And the fact of the matter is that if you're in the innovation game, if this is your passion and your day-to-day activities, guess what? You're already comfortable with the risk quotient. Your job is to convince others to get comfortable with the risk quotient around your idea. So by doing this rules of two, working through a series of adjacencies before it lead up to you eventually making it to the new, this allows you to reduce and communicate the risk. Also, let's face it, those of us that are in this innovation space, we tend to be a little scattered brain. We tend to be very high energy. We tend to be very passionate about the ideas that we're working on. And the one skill that we probably lack in, and that is our ability to focus. You know, we're focusing on 10 minutes around software design. Then we're focusing on signing off on the advertising campaign. Then we're focusing on working with the web guys to make sure that it's going to, everything looks nice and pretty. We feel like we got to run around and touch everything, and we're so excited, and we're going to make this thing happen. What the benefit of this rules of two is the fact is that you're keeping a certain component of your activities consistent with what you do today, and the only variable you're changing is the one thing that is new. Focus on the product, or focus on the go-to-market in my example. The reality is that by limiting the things that are different and new, it helps you focus on doing the right thing to ensure success. And again, the whole objective here is not to come up with great ideas. Ideas that never have an execution are a hobby. The passion needs to come from taking ideas and turning them into phenomenal, world-class, successful products and services that get out into customers' hands. And therefore, this rules of two really does work. Question you're probably asking is, well, isn't this just giving up and falling back on incremental innovations? No. Adjacencies isn't about doing incremental innovations, albeit incremental innovations are great and they are important. But in many cases, the incremental innovations are your tweaking existing products. When you think about an adjacency, it's not incremental innovation. It really is the fact that I'm innovating, but only in one portion of the entire value chain. I'm going to create an entirely new killer product, but I'm going to sell it to the existing customer. Or I'm going to take an existing product, and I'm just going to focus on creating a killer new business model, a new support model, a new advertising campaign, and I'm going to innovate in that dimension. Adjacencies isn't about incremental innovation. It's about focused innovation, focus that allows you to be ultimately successful. The other question you're probably asking is, well, isn't this kind of being sneaky? You know what the new is, and you're basically breaking this down and kind of sneaking it through the process. No. You need to lay out the steps. People don't get excited about just one little dimension, one new product. Now, there's some people in your organization that might get really excited about a new product or a new service. But if you have the vision that goes from today through a series of adjacencies that, if successful, you invest in the next series of adjacencies that fundamentally moves the business into new. If people understand the vision and understand the direction, you're going to get the support. People get excited when someone can lay out that kind of thought process and that logic. Now, it's not easy. You may not know exactly which adjacencies you're going to go after next, but the key is lay it down, figure it out, spend some time, find that new that you just think is that ultimate breakthrough, follow the rules of two, break it down into a series of adjacencies that allow you to focus on the new area while taking advantage of the core business in some area, whether that be product or go-to-market, whatever dimensions you want to use. And by limiting the risk and explaining that story, I'm confident that you're going to convince management, whether it's be your spouse, your boss, your venture capitalist, your angel investors, that what you've got is going to be the ultimate winner. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. I do apologize for how long it's taken between the podcast. I've just moved into a new space in my house and trying to get the office set up. So I'm actually recording in a new area. So I'm not quite sure how the audio quality is going to come out. So please let me know. Also, feel free to send me any feedback, comments, questions, anything else you'd like to share with me. Go ahead and email it to podcast@killerinnovations.com. Also, while you're at it, why don't you forward a link to this podcast to your friends and business contacts? Pay it forward. For those of you who are regular listeners of the podcast, you know the motivation for me to do these podcasts is a process of paying it forward. Early in my career, I received some phenomenal mentoring by Bob Davis and others right out of college. When I asked them, how do I pay them back for the amount of time and the investment they made in my early career to get me established on the right path, all they asked was that I pay it forward later in my career. So this podcast is my way to pay it forward, and all I ask is that you pay it forward. Visit the site, killerinnovations.com, and participate in the feedback in the comments. Post your feedback to the podcast, whether it's this one or any of the previous ones. There's now coming up on more than 100 shows now out on the site. You can go back and search. You can listen to previous ones. You can download the entire catalog. If you want to sit there and listen to, you know, something in the neighborhood of now 50 or 60 hours of my voice rambling along. And hopefully you do find these beneficial. I know a number of you have continued to send me feedback and comments and letters of encouragement. And that all is a big help in keeping the motivation up to continue to put out the podcast. Also, feel free to link in with me on LinkedIn or join over on Facebook. It's podcast@killerinnovations.com. Please let me know that you're a listener to the podcast, because I get lots of invites. And unless I know you or I know that you're a listener to the podcast, I typically will reject them. Also, there are Killer Innovation groups now fully operational. We've got a fairly large group over at LinkedIn, a little bit of a smaller group over on Facebook. Feel free to join the groups, post your questions. A lot of really great people in the innovation community worldwide is now participating. So you can get a lot of feedback on ideas or processes or management challenges you're having around how do you manage innovation. So participate in the community, not only submit your questions, but also jump in and help others in the community in providing them feedback or thoughts or solutions to specific problems that you've been able to address day-to-day within your own passion for innovation. Thanks again for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to the podcast. Hopefully you find this beneficial. Drop me a note. Let me know how you're doing. And stay close to the website. I'll be posting new events and speeches that I'll be giving. And hopefully I'll be able to meet with you face-to-face. Thanks again. Bye-bye.